previously.tv podcast network.
But I hope you're right about this keeping us from drifting apart.
To thank me by the end of the week.
Suddenly I feel so underdressed.
You're fine. We're all fine.
Yeah, well, I hear one sweaty palm can ruin your chances.
Great. I have two.
Just grateful you're not exhausted, okay?
Rush week, here we come.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With Us, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 4, Greek to Me. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
This is the all fraternity and sorority edition. There's really only, I tried to like untangle them, but there's no way this storyline somehow touches all of the storylines in very annoying ways. But let me ask you this, because fraternities and sororities were not a thing at the school where Dave and I went at all. In fact, while we were there, people were trying to start them, but they were like sort of not official because it was prohibited at our school for any school sanctioned group to be like single sex. So they were like, sort of illegal, kind of. I know they're not a thing at Princeton either, though, right?
Correct. I'm not sure exactly why that came to be. They didn't have houses. I mean, Princeton's eating club system is kind of similar, and there were fraternities and sororities, but even though I was raised by a fraternity president and was like considered kind of a, well, this is, you know, a game ball kind of by that fraternity's like brothers who are my age at Princeton, where my dad didn't go. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. It's like the Marines, but more drinking, right. I guess.
Yeah.
Like I went to girls' school forever and had no interest in being around only ladies anymore at that time in my life. So yeah. I like what it is like for at like real schools that have real Greek systems, I have no idea. And also I didn't care. It's not something I cared about. So listeners, if this was something that was a big part of your lives, congratulations. We wish you all the best. And we apologize for our profound ennui at this entire thing.
Yeah, I have no frame of reference for it at all, so this is going to be interesting or boring. let's find out and begin with our A/only story. Everyone freaks about rush week with the Greeks. So as we begin, Donna and David are working their terrible graveyard shift at the radio station badly in clip number two.
David and Donna still here with you all night long. Now call us at 555-KXCU because we're totally interactive radio, which means you run the show.
Now that's the crucial part. You're the show, so you call us.
It starts at 2 a.m. Did either of them think maybe this is a dumb idea, putting the entire onus on the tiny listenership to run their show for them? Fucking idiots.
Well, and did Meth Howard think maybe putting a radio hosting team whose whole shtick is like talking and taking calls on at 2 a.m. is not an awesome idea?
Yeah.
Like, everyone who's awake is drunk.
Totally.
Put some long playing jazz on and I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, after
stuff.
Seriously, Donna lays out the main thrust of this episode, which is that it's Greek week, and solicits reactions on either side of the Greek question. But first, tell all of their friends by name to hang up if they're on the line. And when they do, the phones go dark. Sad trombone. Donna wants to bail on this format because she is not stupid. But David is pretty sure they just need to give it time because he is stupid. Then there's this totally revolting segment where a couple of keg guys sit on a couch on their front lawn and rate girls walking by like they're judges at the Olympics. And the women think it's charming. Fucking ban men. You can see proof of this in the visual aids because I made a GIF. God. And then
the women who get higher than a 9 think it's charming.
Right.
There's an 8.5 who was pissed, but it wasn't because it's a disgusting thing to do. It's because she was an 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, women of CU, rise up. Come on.
Word. And then Donna's in her car primping and trying to cover up how tired she looks from her stupid radio show. There's some exposition about how Donna talked Brenda and Andrea into investigating rushing a sorority as something that they could all do together. so that they wouldn't drift apart, as though they don't all still only hang out with each other all the time. But anyway, things start badly as the Mighty Mighty Gammas sing the Greek version of the song that never ends in clip number 3.
Somehow I doubt they do this at Yale.
They actually do this at Yale. Like, first of all, shut up, Andrea. Like, no, they don't have 44-year-olds rushing at Yale, probably. But there's apparently, I've been to Yale exactly once because a high school friend of mine went there and I visited, and she was in this residential college that apparently was known for having like all the stupid people in it, which is Yale. Yeah. Exactly how stupid could they be? I don't know. But their whole chant at football games was like, it's called Pearson College. And it's like, P is for the Pearson College. I is for the I in Pearson College. And it just goes on like that, like until they've spelled the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And then they just do it again. Like, as long as anyone has a voice left, they just keep singing this chant, spelling the name of their residential college, including the word college. So actually, they do it at Yale, except it's even more annoying and baffling.
Oh, God. Wow.
And also, shut up, Andrea. Have you looked in the mirror? Look again.
Yeah, it's a lot. You can see it in the visual aids. There's a lot of really bad Andrea styling in this episode and the next several. She's like, they just cannot dress her until she starts really showing with her pregnancy. It's like really cruel this season, way more than ever before, I have to say.
It really is.
But yeah, that song, I mean, I know that clip was annoying, but that's there's like at least 10 more verses of just that over and over and over again. Like, how do you not get out of your car and then be like, no, I'm out. Like, I'm going to kill everyone and then myself if I have to hear one more round of this. God. Anyway, it's terrible. Elsewhere, Brandon thinks it's a good idea to play touch football on a frat lawn with a bunch of dudes who are twice his height and like four times his weight. And Sarah, thank God, got a picture of him for the visual aids because I had it marked too. He's in a sleeve cut off sweatshirt, which he has sweated up, cargo shorts, and his fucking black sneakers and his hair. It's just bad from head to toe. I hate him so much. However, the dudes like Brandon for some reason and want him to stay. And when he politely declines because he has something else to do, Steve has to pull him aside and explain that such things are not done. Capital N, capital D. Brandon is snotty about spending the day watching girls at the keg house, like suddenly he's above that. And then the beefiest guy in the frat, who is John Sears, and his already balding friend come out of the house and scold the couch raiders. And then John Sears says he'll be right back because apparently he sees something he likes in clip number 4.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
It's been a long time.
Not long enough. Guess you're not going to introduce us, huh?
You know Kelly?
Kind of. Asked her out in the ninth grade. She turned me down.
She turned you down?
Yep.
The way that they just changed their minds about how much these people know about each other is really infuriating. Like, Steve wouldn't know that they knew each other at West Beverly from when they were all in, when he and she were in grade 9 together? I don't know.
Yeah, and we'll hear, like, more about this. Like, that it's like a retcon, but whatever a bad retcon is, like a negative retcon, that like she was thought of as such a slut. Like, the only hint we ever got of that was at the slumber party episode.
Yeah.
And even that made it sound more like actually she'd been assaulted. Probably sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
Or something close to it. Or at least the guy just fucking ghosted her, whatever the 80s version of that was. Like, I don't understand why it's so important for the show for her to have been a tramp who is now reformed.
Like, and who has
both
been reformed.
Parts are weird and gross.
Right. But also who is, as we've said so many times, has been reformed since the time of like the events of the show that we have seen. So like why it keeps coming up, I don't get it either.
Well, and then she's written as when she's not in a relationship, which from here on out is basically never, but like prior to that, she was totally boy crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, whatever. Shut up, show.
Seriously. Let's move on to where Brandon was going, speaking of shut up, in clip number 5.
No, this is the Student Senate. Does the faculty have it this good?
They're just the teachers. We're the people who really run this place.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Angela Rhodes.
Hi. Nice to meet you. Okay. So how'd you make out with our favorite dean?
The man is from Mars.
Went that well, huh?
We'll talk about it later. So, Josh has told me a lot about you and your famous march on the school board.
I assume that's why I'm here.
So you know that we have an opening on our slate for a freshman representative to the Student Senate. Does that interest you?
Yes, nope. I'm very interested in it.
That's why I'm here.
Say that. But you gotta know that a girl passing out in her prom dress is not our kind of issue.
Well, that wasn't our issue either. We had a school board superintendent who was trying to sneak through dress codes and rules about drinking without any student input. There was no public debate, no notification, no nothing. That was our issue.
Oh, our issue, was it?
But I still don't know what you're about. All I know is that you're from Beverly Hills.
Well, I think you can tell by the way I'm dressed that I'm not going to give up shopping on Rodeo Drive without a big floor fight, I'll tell you. Listen, guys, I just don't want to coast through college. This is important to me.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
That's it?
Okay. There's so much to go through in this clip. First of all, Brandon's taking ownership of, like, all of the matters that everyone else had to tell him were important is so gross. Like, Josh Richland should really do his research and realize that the prime mover behind all of this was not Brandon at all. And second is like, that's it. Like, don't you want to learn more about me?
Ask me about my hair and the fact that I didn't dress up for this meeting to decide whether I would be getting the coveted freshman spot on the slate of student government. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. This is not a thing. And even if it were, this is not why anyone watches television.
No.
Is to care about your stupid, shitty student government.
No.
Nerds.
Also, please go to the visual aids for a 4-part composite of the many loving looks that Josh shoots at Brandon throughout this speech, because he is in love with Brandon. I'm just going to say it. I'm pretty sure that's what's motivating all of this. Like, he loves him. Anyway, moving on. The girls seem to be ending their tour of sororities at Alpha Omega, where some fucking how the girls' collective reputation precedes them, as we hear in clip number 6.
Well, with 30 seconds left to go, I finally meet the Fab Four from West Beverly.
Someone's been talking about us?
Let's see. Summer camp counselors, elementary school charities, a spring queen, valedictorian. You guys can start your own sorority. Oh, no. Well, this is why they call it Rush. Excuse me. It was a sincere pleasure to meet you. We may not see all of you again, so...
Hasta la vista, baby!
Oh, Jesus.
I had to hear that clip so many times, and it made me cringe every time, but I could not not clip it. It is so the 90s.
It's so the 90s. And just for the record, the list of the Fab Four's accomplishments are, mm-hmm. with the exception of Spring Queen, which is not an accomplishment, all Andrea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no mention of, a disgraced prom drunkard is not in there somehow. Anyway.
A split personality singing waitress.
Future animal testing lab breaker inner. Oh, wait, can't mention that yet. Anyway.
Runaway bride.
Yes. God, a lot happens to her this season. Anyway, everyone is hot on Alpha Omega except for Kelly in clip number 7.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, except their brother fraternity is the Keg House.
Well, that's Steve's house and maybe Brandon's.
It's also John Sears.
Is that the guy that you want to talk to before?
Kelly, come on. Inquiring minds would really like to know.
Kelly went out with him in 9th grade.
Yeah. I had a huge crush on him during my walk all over MeFizz.
Well, who could blame you?
He turned out to be the biggest jerk. I spent one highly regrettable night with him and his parents' champagne. The next day, he told every senior he knew, and he made up stuff, too. He has a fertile imagination. If he opens his big mouth, I will have doors slamming in my face all up and down sorority row.
Kelly, any sorority would love to have you.
Don't count on it. A bad rep is the kiss of death. even past tense.
Really? I mean, I don't want to be rude if you were in a sorority, but aren't sororities full of whores? Seriously, just kidding. Kind of. I mean,
then why wasn't I in one? I just, and it's the phrasing too, like a bad rep.
Yeah, it's
okay,
the 90s.
Rizzo, what the fuck?
What, you don't want
Use
people to think
words.
You're fast? I mean, honestly. That you're going to make it?
Oh, what is the term for it from like the 20s? Not a round heel.
Yes, round heel? I think so.
Except in her case, it's a block heel because 90s.
Platform heel.
Oh, make our own fun, folks.
A Steve Madden platform heel, no doubt. Anyway, Andrea comes home dressed so mumsily, but I guess it counts as dressed up from her normal jorderals. So she's met with backhanded compliments on her looks from Dan. When she tells him that she is rushing, things get ugly fast in clip number 8.
Which one of the houses do you like the best?
Well, my friends and I like Alpha Omega the best.
Really? I would have thought you'd be zeroing in on the Jewish sororities.
Oh. And if I was Asian, I should only look at Asian sororities. If I was African American, I should only look at African American sororities. Some kind of resident advisor you are.
I didn't invent the system. But I bet in the end, you'll find yourself in a Jewish sorority.
Are you saying that there's anti-Semitism?
No, just birds of a feather flocking together.
You know what I think? The minute someone shows a little enthusiasm, the cynics of the world get nervous.
How many fucking sororities are there at this school that there can be, like, multiple race-segregated ones? I don't get it.
Don't look at me.
Okay. Anyway,
also, why is she like planting a flag on this hill when like one restaurant review about the peach pit had her scurrying out of the paper without even turning the fucking thing in? Like,
when she's a journalism major, yeah, I know. I don't know. She's just trying to defy Dan, I guess, which I don't know. Will turn out to have been a good call in the future, but anyway. Then Brenda and Dylan run into each other on campus.
Defies D. Spoiler. Sorry.
I always, well, we'll get to Dan anyway. Brandon and Dylan run into each other on campus. She's already snotty about rushing, but they also find out they have a class together in poetry. Barf. And then Josh and Angela tell Brandon that they do want him to join the progressive party ticket. He calls out to Steve, who's with John. And when John sees that Brandon is with Angela and Josh, he ices him out. And this happens. Clip number 9.
They must still be mad since I trounced them in the football game today.
How do you know those guys?
Steve, the blonde one, is a buddy of mine from high school.
Oh, high school buddies, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you're not in high school anymore, Brandon.
What? Oh, my fucking God. Settle down, Angela. It's not fucking jump training.
So ridiculous.
I just
like,
hate everyone in this whole plot line.
I know.
So much.
I know. It's going to get so much worse, too, the way that, I mean, well, we'll get there. Brenda makes it to the peach.
Oh, the pencil.
The pencil. I know. Brenda makes it to the peach pit really, really late to meet the other girls. They're all opening up their sorority invitations together, and all of them got Alpha Omega. Even pissy Brenda is excited, but there are apparently still 2 more rounds of cuts. At the Walsh house, it seems Brandon has just shared his student senate news with his parents, especially the typically extremely proud Jim in clip number 10.
My son, the senator, the next Jack Kennedy, right here.
All right.
Dad, student senator. Did you hear me say student? You heard me, didn't
you,
Mom?
All right, but a lot of very important people got started just this way. How do you think future presidents of the United States learn the ropes?
They go to law school. Like, what the fuck? No one cares that you're on the student senate at your college as an undergrad.
The reason I'm laughing... Listeners, we have an online document with all the clips marked that we go through, and that's our like syllabus for each episode. Tara marked this clip with Jim's dialogue in all caps, and it's just cracking me up that he's like booming in the kitchen, and even Cindy is like, dude, it's a freshman. Who cares?
Seriously. As the conversation goes on, it becomes clear that Brandon is just as prepared to represent this party as he was to co-edit a high school newspaper in Clue 11.
So what does this progressive party stand for?
Good stuff. You know, I take a hard line on racism, elitism, chauvinism, sexism. Your basic isms.
The politically correct crowd.
Call it what you will.
What are they gonna think about you partying till you drop at the keg house?
Keg's progressive.
Oh, right. They, recycle their beer bottles.
That's right, and I'm sure it'll be just fine.
Hey, you're lucky.
Dick.
When we were in college, things got kind of polarized.
Well, that's for sure. Somehow the way people felt about fraternities and sororities got all tangled up with how they felt about the Vietnam War.
Yeah, it wasn't always friendly. The Greeks were perceived to be pretty conservative.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it, guys. And in case you haven't heard, the war's over.
I hate it!
Not according to your barbers, it isn't. A. B. Do you have to take that tone of voice with everyone in your family, you little fart knocker?
He takes that tone of voice with everyone in his life. He took that tone of voice with the people that he was trying to impress to get on their fucking political party ticket. He's the worst. Also,
ticket.
Remember in the 90s when politics were polarizing? Aren't we also glad that we're past that now? Just kidding. Brandon is still up at 2 a.m. When David and Donna start their radio show. So David gets Donna to lose her mind on a live broadcast. David picks a fight with her, blaming her for their lack of interests. Brandon then gets a call from Steve, who is downstairs on his cellular phone. He is anxious and couldn't sleep, and we hear why in clip number 12.
You come to that party, right?
I told you I'd be there.
Yeah.
Keg House Rush is that party, so be on your best behavior.
Did you come all the way over here to tell me that?
No.
Seriously?
I couldn't help thinking about what John Sears said. What are you doing hanging out with those political guys at the student union for?
Because they're running me for student senate.
Oh, great. The Keg House is gonna flip over that.
Steve, I thought maybe you'd at least feign a little excitement for me.
Don't expect me to be too stoked. Those guys have it in for Greek life.
I don't think they even care about Greek life.
All I know is the Keg crew hates their guts, okay? Sears said he doesn't even allow the pledges to hang out with any of those campus weasels.
I really don't care, man.
I thought we were gonna stick together.
We are.
I get this bad feeling like joining this fraternity is gonna cost me my best friend.
Come on, man, you're being stupid.
You gotta make a choice, Brandon.
Not at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't. Relax, I'll be at the party. Now go home and get some sleep, all right?
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Oh, my God.
I never cared about anything remotely like this when I was in college.
What is with this? They've been there for 3 days. What is this Jets Sharks shit?
They haven't even started fucking classes yet. It's ridiculous.
And he's not deciding whether to abort like a Down's fetus or something. It's student government. No one cares.
No one cares. The people doing it barely care. It's so pointless. Ugh, anyway.
I just can't believe how, like, torqued everyone is about this. Like, I really expected, a dancing knife fight to break out.
Seriously. However, the fact that Brandon can be like, I don't even think they care about Greek life, once again proves he's so unprepared for this thing that he's been handed. Like, he's done zero research. Of course they care about Greek life. The whole point of being a liberal in college is you care about everything. You care about everything. Anyway. The next day, the girls are at another mixer when Leslie, an aggressive pink and buff, comes over to talk up Alpha to Andrea, and it turns out they have a ton in common. Clip 13.
I'm an only child.
So am I.
Oh my God, what?
Also, no, you're not. You have a sister that the writers forgot about or killed off. Also, we've never seen your parents. What are you?
I forgot about the sister too.
Yeah.
The other stuff they have in common is that
Mrs. Zuckerman, she did.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Leslie was supposed to be on the paper, but then they asked her to review a friend's play. Oh my God, another parallel. Andrea feels so at home. It's going to be so sad when this all comes crashing down. Spoiler alert. At the beach, David is dancing to a very loud track when Donna comes out of the bedroom because she was napping and he interfered, and that means immediate breakup with permanent effect as far as I am concerned. Don't mess with a lady's nap. That's just good advice. However, even though David is clearly in the wrong, he decides to pick a fight with her again in clip 14.
Could that be any louder?
It's metal and rap. You like it?
No. I'm trying to sleep. The sorority is having a 70s party at the Keg House tonight, and I'm exhausted.
Who said you had to rush a sorority in the first place?
Like, I don't blame him. I do think it's dumb, but it's her choice. Like, fucking let her have a nap. God.
Yeah. Also, it's metal rap. No one likes it.
Also,
turn it down.
Yes. Even if no one else was home, that was too loud. Anyway, Donna tells him that she heard what he said and it wasn't nice. He apologizes, and as she exhaustedly goes limp in his arms, he tries to get her to fuck him. Read a room, Loudy McNoise.
Oh my god, that was so amazing. He's like, you know what would help me sleep? Like, Oh my god, he's unbelievable.
Ridiculous. Elsewhere, Kelly's on the phone telling Dylan about a party that anyone who had spent 10 seconds with him would know he had no interest in clip 15.
It is a theme party at Steve's fraternity.
Yeah, what's the theme? One of the great ones, you know, man versus nature, appearance versus reality.
Disco fever.
Tell you what, I missed Disco Fever the first time around, Kel. What makes you think I want to catch it now?
For me? Can't you just break your little no frat rule just this once, please?
Listen, I thought we agreed we'd go our separate ways on this party hardy stuff.
Fine. Forget I ever asked you.
Do you hate me?
Yes, I hate you. But I love you more.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. However, even though this is going to be the animating fight that runs through like the next several episodes in their imminent quasi breakup, spoiler alert, it's possible to be in a couple and not share every single interest in common, just for the record. You don't need to be joined at the hips, even if when you're in college. Yes.
And he's in recovery. Like, we all know, as I'm sure Kelly knows, that this is mostly a pose on Dylan's part, but he doesn't drink. Yeah. So
what's the point of going to a frat party? Yeah, exactly. Also, like, he hasn't been in any kind of a costume since Brenda made him do it in season 2. So, like, he's not going to dress up for the 70s. There's no way he would ever do this. Why did you even ask? Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, you just want to get in a fight because you know he won't do it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Just break up with him. He sucks. And so do you.
So true. We will get there soon. So please see the visual aids to get a load of the incredibly loose interpretation of Disco Fever that's on display at this party. Donna is falling asleep on a speaker. Kelly sees Leslie talking to John and worriedly asks Steve if John and Leslie are tight. Steve reports what John had told Kelly about her, but it doesn't seem to assuage Kelly's worry that John is going to tell Leslie that Kelly is a whore, because it's the 20s, apparently. Remember when Brenda was in Minnesota bragging that if she wanted to party, she'd have stayed in L.A.? Well, now she and her John Lennon glasses are holding up the wall and looking superior and bored. She really does know how to party. And then Brandon enters, not dressed like the 70s at all, because he's such a fucking iconoclast, in clip 16.
Brandon, why am I not having any fun?
Well, for starters, Brandon, you're not wearing your platform shoes.
Well, if that would help, I would, believe me. I mean, usually I have fun at parties.
This isn't a party, Bren. This is a way of life.
Yeah, well, I like the idea of all of us having something together, but I guess I'm just not a joint.
Yeah. No one ever thought you were going to do this, goth eyebrows. Like, why are you even pretending? Whatever. Brandon says that the same thing is happening with him and Steve, but they can't dig into it because then the bald... blonding keg guy, whose name is Charlie Dixon, shows up and mistakes Brenda for Brandon's girlfriend. Please stop with this. It's gross. Don't do it anymore. And then Leslie finds Kelly to report on her conversation with John, puts them together. Kelly tries to be cordial in order not to ruin her chances with Alpha, but also noncommittal because she still hates him. He's also not dressed on theme either. He's in like a t-shirt and chinos. A button down. But anyway, he's full of compliments until she calls him on it in clip 17.
Get it. Aren't you the same guy who spent a year trying to ruin my life?
No, I'm not that guy anymore. Do you want to go outside? It's quieter. I owe you a big apology.
Yeah, you do.
I've really tried to grow up since then, Kelly.
Have you had any success?
You could find out for yourself. You've changed a lot. Maybe I have too.
This storyline is so creepy. And the grossest part of it is how flirty Kelly is with him, because, like, if what she had reported was actually true, she would. This makes no sense for this to be her reaction to his overtures.
Yeah, I agree.
However, it does work. And when Donna comes out to get Kelly, she is dubious about Kelly staying to catch up with John, as she should be. But as I said, Kelly is extremely flirty, and when he asks her to dance with him, she does. Brandon, meanwhile, is playing pool with Charlie Dixon, who's now identified as the keg president. So I guess baby Howard Hamlin is gone. He says he's from some tiny town in the mountains north of Sacramento, and we get this whole brotherhood story, but who cares? The subject turns to Brandon's political career in clip 18.
He also says you might be running for student senate.
Yeah, for the progressives.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that nobody here is trying to pressure you into anything, one way or the other. But you can't have both, Brandon. And I hope you appreciate what you might be passing up.
The background music, like, such an intense, like, you've come to a fork in the road, young Jedi conversation, and it's like...
I know. This is so stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also, no one cares.
No one cares. Speaking of no one cares, elsewhere, Leslie and Andrea are talking parties and more in clip 19.
Friday nights in the keg house is one thing around here that you can count on. And one of the advantages to being an alpha.
And there seems to be the right mix of,
you guys. That's right. You know, I should probably warn you that you're not going to find a lot of Jewish guys here. Is that a problem?
Why would it be?
No reason. Oh, there's the head of the Inner Greek Council. I got to go catch her before she leaves.
Was Dan right? Are sororities anti-Semitic? Who cares?
And this is another, like, oh, there's the head of the Inner Greek Council. I better go grab her. Like, you're not 35 years old.
Yes. This isn't the junior league.
No one cares.
You're all supposed to be drunk anyway.
Oh my God. And Andre actually, I think, was drunk earlier in the night, but this is yet another example of the hair department just hating her for some reason. I don't get it.
But one of Sarah's pictures of Andrea in the visual aids is like, what is this Sylvia Miles shit? And word, that is what she looks like.
With apologies to Sylvia Miles, who kept it pretty fresh.
True. At the Peach Pit, Dylan is drinking coffee when Brenda shows up so that the two of them can congratulate each other on how cool they both are in clip 20.
I just thought that if there was anything Kelly, Donna, and Andre and I could do together, it would be join a sorority. But I just can't.
Because you can't pronounce the words sorority? Is that the reason you can't join one, Mushmouth?
She can't even pronounce her own last name.
No. Or her first name, for
I mean,
that matter.
If you're going to learn to pronounce anything, it would be Brenda Wash, wouldn't it?
It shouldn't be a problem for it you shouldn't. To say it properly. Anyway, Dylan says, Brenda is worried that she's going to lose her friends if she doesn't pledge. And instead of saying that is ridiculous, Dylan says this, clip 21.
Well, tell you the truth, Brenda, I couldn't really see myself with the sorority girl type either. Kelly seems to enjoy it. It's probably harmless.
She stares at him.
I mean it, really. It's fine.
Okay, two things. One, quit bleeding on Brenda. We all know what you're doing. Even you know what you're doing. Second, oh boy, I bet the Greek system is so happy. Dylan has said he thinks it's probably harmless. How fucking generous of him. Like, that's exactly what they were waiting for. Shut up, Dylan. I mean, I don't disagree that it's dumb, but that's not for him to say. Like, it's something that Kelly is interested in. Just leave it. Anyway, he's the worst.
Well, or have a legitimate reason, like, that underage drinking leads to a lot of really bad situations, especially for women,
yes.
Like your girlfriend.
For example.
Instead of just being like, I'm too punk rock for this. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Like that. I have this image of myself and a sorority girl doesn't fit into it. Like, shut up. Anyway, Brenda asks if Dylan thinks that she should just join the sorority with the others, because what she needs now is a man's opinion on this decision about a female community, but Dylan tells her that he thinks she should do what seems right. Meanwhile, Donna and David are fighting on the air again. She likens him to a dog in so many words and is way too proud of herself. Meanwhile, the party is broken up, but Kelly and John have the radio on while they flirt super duper hard, possibly because he roofied her, but that is not confirmed in clip 22.
I can't believe you actually know these two.
Donna hasn't slept all week. She's usually not that bad. Or maybe she is.
Yeah, she's pretty wacky.
You don't have to live with them.
Oh, I'd trade places with them in a minute to be closer to you.
Ew.
What kind of line is that? You haven't changed at all.
It's like dandling her hand. And it takes her that long to say.
Because if you were my girlfriend, I'd be with you at every party just to keep guys like me from crawling all over you.
Well, Dylan's not that big on parties.
Maybe Dylan's not that big on you.
Yep.
He is. You don't know anything about him. Here we go.
Can I call you?
It's been really good to see you again. But I'd rather you didn't.
I might anyway.
He's such a creep, but also
he
and Kelly have been hanging out like for what seems like hours, and it took her this long to say she has a boyfriend. Lady, come on. Like, you know what is happening.
That's, the rest of the house has emptied out. It's got to be like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, they're listening to David and Donna's radio show. Like, obviously, the music has ended.
It's between
the DJ
two and
went
six,
home.
I guess.
Exactly.
Is that music the substitute for the Enigma song?
It does sound like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Probably. And then sad little Kelly is sitting barefoot on Dylan's doorstep when he comes home from the Peach Pit after 2 in the morning to flirt with him. They missed each other, but she can't just enjoy having missed him and then seeing him again without having a symposium on his personality in clip 23.
Dylan was wondering something.
What?
Why can't you be more like everybody else?
Oh my God.
Is that really what you want?
No, not really.
I didn't think so.
Barf! Yeah, I know.
You could
great.
Be a little more like other people by wearing socks with your Doc Martens, because when you take that shit off, when you two bone, it is going to smell so bad.
Yes. But also, I mean, like, that answer, I didn't think you wanted me to be, be a little less arrogant, buddy. But also, in his slight defense, like, if Kelly's life now is going to be, there's a party every night, like, she needs to pick and choose which ones are actually important for him to come to, rather than, like, just being a fire hose of invitations for him to turn down. Like, everybody doesn't everything. You know, make a decision about which ones are actually important, because really, Disco Fever? Like, no. Anyway. The next day, David is still mad at Donna about the stupid dog thing. Brandon admits to Steve that the kegs still know how to party and that Charlie is a classy guy. That assessment from Brandon means so much, I'm sure. Steve tells Brandon all he has to do is show up at some thing on Saturday to get into the frat. But then Josh appears in his Henley with a lot of chest hair showing, which you can see in the visual aids. To remind him about a meeting that night. Steve is snotty about this Poindexter. You can see the face he makes. Sarah made a gorgeous gif in the visual aids.
He is barely restraining himself from shrieking bird in Josh Richland's face.
True.
It's good.
But Josh and Steve grudgingly shake each other's hands. In her room, Andrea is spinning out to Dan about Leslie's question about whether it's okay that there aren't a lot of Jewish guys in the Greek system. He sneaks in a flirt about having a chance with her since he is Jewish, but now is not the time. Clip 24.
She gave me this pitch that we're supposed to be one big family. Everyone's supposed to fit in.
That's the basic Greek attitude.
Yeah, but I thought she meant that I'd fit in.
This could be her way of asking if being Jewish is something you're willing to check at the door.
Well, if that's the question, I know how to get an answer.
Oh, God.
Why ask the ladies at Mahjong?
Yeah.
Is that how?
How about just ask, like, if you're not welcome, they wouldn't be rushing you, probably. Like, they already know you're Jewish, so, like, either you want to join or you don't. I don't get it. Anyway, at his meeting, oh, God, this is so terrible.
Oh, Brandon
is the only sensible person in this crowd of cotton-headed liberals in clip 24. Or, sorry, 25.
Shouldn't we at least consider how we're going to pay for all the additional security we're demanding?
No, we shouldn't.
What?
Almost. What I'm really concerned with is priority 9, the removal of all pan-Hellenic sororities and fraternities from the university campus.
What? You think it should read all fraternity and sorority types?
Look, we know it's ambitious, but this could be a real rallying point. Wait a minute. 90% of the incoming freshmen couldn't get the classes they needed. The library closes early 4 days a week. How can one of our priorities be to bash other students? You know how much of your student activities fee goes to floats and candlelight ceremonies?
And that money can go to the Chicano Cultural Project or to daycare for single mothers.
Okay, wait. Let me make it simple. The Greeks are elitist and they're racist. If you have some thoughts on how to get rid of them, we're all ears. Let's hold on a second. Some of my best friends are pledging sororities and fraternities at this very moment, and they are neither elitist nor racist. The Greeks are more inclusive than half the groups you want to increase funding for.
Brandon, are you going to hold us up on every issue?
There's a lot more in here I disagree with, if that's what you're asking.
You are being a pain. We are moving on.
I'm not finished.
Yes, you are.
Well, I can't run this platform, ladies and gentlemen. Find yourself another fair-haired boy.
The pencil throw! He's such a fucking asshole.
Oh my god. Also, that pencil whizzes past someone's eye. Like, there's a bunch of non-speaking extras in the scene.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can see
God.
It. I made a GIF in the visual aids because it's an obviously extremely important moment. But also, like, everything about that scene, the liberals are such fucking cartoons. Like, the Chicano Cultural Project is like a Mad Lib of special interests scare
it
tactics.
Really is.
It's so,
like,
ridiculous.
Like, daycare for single moms. But all you two-parent households can go scratch if you both have to work.
I don't.
What the fuck?
Ridiculous. But also, like, shouldn't we think about how we're going to pay for this? No. Like, even the most naive political person on a campus would not think that you don't have to talk about the budget. Like, so...
Although, you kind of have to love her because she's so, like, Anya on Buffy. She's like, no. And then she's like, you're being a pain. Like, yeah.
No one wants to
crunch numbers, and he's the worst. You're right, but don't put me in the position of agreeing with him even faintly,
even for a second, before the pencil throw occurs. The best is that, as you can see in the visual aid, after he throws the pencil, the camera cuts back to Angela and Josh both being like, "This fucking guy," like they're just so beaten down and exhausted, aka portrait of life after Brandon. Anyway, so then what happens is there was this candlelight ceremony at the Alpha Omega house where I assume the whole scene had to be cut for the DVDs because it is not here. But I think they sing "Whither Thou Goest, I Will Go" or something like that. Whatever the song, I think I'm remembering that right. But they must have had to cut it because they couldn't get the rights because it's gone. But anyway, what happens in that scene is that they're holding their candlelights. Leslie comes around to light Andrea's candle, and then she sees that she's wearing a Star of David necklace and like gives her this big look, whatever. So this is what happens after that. Leslie shows up all angry, and this occurs.
The candlelight ceremony was really moving. I loved it.
What got into you, huh? What'd you have to wear the star for? I pulled for you all week long. The girls were all ready to accept you.
But not if I'm Jewish.
Are you crazy? I'm Jewish.
What?
I had no idea.
Yeah, well, everybody in the sorority knows, and everybody is fine with it.
What? They are?
Of course, because I don't flaunt it. That's the trick.
So, there's a trick.
You got a real problem, you know that.
I have a problem. When you go to synagogue on the high holy days, what do you tell your sorority sisters? That you're off to the mall?
If you want to join a temple, join one. But Alpha O is a sorority.
You're right, it is. And I would like you to withdraw my name because I don't want to be a part of it.
they're fine with it. It's 1993.
like it's not.
This is not gentleman's agreement even. Time. Like, it's really not a big deal.
Well, and also, how exactly does one flaunt it?
Right.
And also, you're aware that your university is in Los Angeles, California?
Yeah. In Brentwood,
it's
no
less.
It's not
like there's the only two Jews in Manhattan, Kansas.
Right.
What the... And also, who cares? Oh, whatever.
Who cares? Like, of course.
No, I just have this mental image of the two of them walking around the sorority house in their pajamas with, like, challahs on their heads.
Yeah.
Daring their sorority sisters to say something like, how dare you flaunt your I hate this episode. Let's end it.
Okay. Donna shows up late at the radio show carrying her aunt's poor terrier because she's decided to triple down on her stupid dog bit. And it works. Ugh. Donna's confessional style wins over listeners, and David can't argue with results. No one cares. Andrea then is on campus the next day in this, what can only be described as a lumberjill outfit. It's a plaid button down. She is not with long sleeved, by the way. Red and white checked, tucked in to the shortest shorts you ever did see. And then she has like scrunch socks because the 90s and hiking boots. It's so much.
And like, her box head hair.
And her box head
hair. Just absolutely everything about it is designed for someone who does not have that particular body, who's mm-hmm. much taller.
Yep.
Like, I just don't.
It's cruel.
Why they hate
it's
her?
Cruel. It's really cruel. It makes her look so stumpy. Like, there are ways to dress a shorter lady. Like, figure it out. Anyway. Meanwhile, Brandon is dreading telling Jim that he's decided to withdraw from Student Senate. Andrea thinks that Josh has a chip on his shoulder and that Brandon is probably doing the right thing. And then Leslie appears and we hear our final clip.
When I told the girls that you withdrew your name, they were really upset. They didn't care about your Star of David or your religion or anything but you.
And that's what they say, but they obviously don't make you feel that way.
It's not the Alpha House. It's me.
Yeah, what do you expect from a girl whose family changed her last name from Schulman to Sumner?
Listen, you two obviously have a lot to talk about. I'm going to excuse myself.
How rude of me. Brandon Walsh, this is Leslie Sumner Schulman.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
Name
they changed
Sumner.
Her name.
What just happened here? Seriously.
I don't know.
She admitted to being a self-hating Jew and now everyone's all cool?
Yeah. I just realized they cut another scene because they all sing Que Sera Sera, but maybe that's the song that they sing in the candlelight ceremony either. But that also, there is another scene at the Peach Pit where the girls agree that Kelly and Donna are going to pledge and Brenda and Andrea aren't, that also got cut for this episode that makes the next ones make very little sense. Whatever. Finally, let's wrap it up. Brandon tries to be a hero to the keggers by bringing them the evil party platform, but it's no big deal because apparently the progressives try this shit every year, and Brandon feels like an idiot for making a big deal about it. Steve assumes this means Brandon is going to pledge with him now, but apparently it does not, and Steve is sad. The end. Sarah, who would you say is our most valuable player of the episode?
The tiny, sad-eyed Yorkie that is forced to participate in Donna's dog stuff. It's obviously animal cruelty, and yep. It's a little purse dog, but it's very cute.
I was going to take the dog, but instead I will say Donna because she yells at David for being too loud during her nap. She actually tries something with their radio show that doesn't involve putting the entire onus on the four people listening. And her disco fever outfit, while terrible, is at least actually period appropriate. So I appreciate that she put in the effort. Least valuable.
Fair enough.
Brandon! Brandon the Prince Walker.
Yeah, Brandon. And wardrobe also, because really...
And Jim for acting like any of this matters. He's an adult.
Seriously.
He should know better. Well, speaking of Brandon being the worst, let's do the Moo Moo Parker challenge. 5 ways in this episode Brandon could have ended up dead. Squashed during the touch football game at Keg House.
stuffed into a side pocket of the pool table.
Alcohol poisoning at the party, even though we only see him pouring soda. I'm sure that he drank a lot of beer because there was some.
Thrown pencil takes a bad bounce and flies directly back into his eyeball, piercing his brain and killing him instantly.
Beaten to death by the Chicano Cultural Project members.
They could take a number.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
Sorry.
Hi, Dave. You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. So where we left off, we were into the chapter of Shannon Doherty's love life. So let's talk about her first fiancé, Chris Foufas. Yes, I did. Chris Foufas.
Oh, I forgot the
Foof. He was introduced to Shannon by his best friend, Evan Mustkantow, the man that Shannon was engaged to at the time. Oh, well, I guess he was actually bachelor number two if she was engaged to some other dude before him. Anyway, a 27-year-old health club owner residing in Chicago, Chris became more acquainted with Shannon when he accompanied Evan to Los Angeles, visiting Shannon in August of 91. Absence did indeed make Shan's heart grow fonder, but not for Evan. After their first evening out, the attraction was undeniable. The two soon started dating, and Evan found himself out of the picture. A long-distance romance began with both Foufas and Doherty making frequent visits to see each other. After only 6 months, Foufas decided to go on bended knee to offer Miss Doherty a 6.5-carat diamond engagement ring. The price was right. Bedazzled with the shimmer of those rocks, Shando readily accepted. In asking for her hand in marriage, his proposal turned out to be a $64,000 question. Rather than draw upon any humor Chris might have had to invest in the relationship, Shannon preferred to draw upon his available funds. I don't know what that sentence means. Well, gracing the cover of Bride magazine, the betrothed beauty, in a characteristically duplicitous move, decided against wedding Foufas. In a November 92 interview with People magazine, she cited his age as the main reason for the decision. He's a wonderful man whom I love very much. However, Shannon added, but I'm 21 and it's not exactly the right time to get married. Friendship has taken over the romance. There is much speculation as to the validity of that statement, since Chris had to fly to L.A. in order to retrieve his ring, despite numerous requests for Shannon to return it. He's also been quoted as saying Shannon deserves everything she's gotten in the way of bad press. Oof. End of excerpt.
Oofus. I'm a little sad that we never got the portmanteau celebrity name Doofus that would have ensued had they gotten married. Anyhow, speaking of Doofi, next time... Steve wants some strange Donna-something radio stuff, and when Dylan would rather be on the road than a campus joiner, Kelly shops for a brand new bag at Sears. The visual aids have your budget fashions all in one place at previously.tv, and you can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. I am Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My fine-feathered co-host, Tara Ariano, is also on Twitter at Tara Ariano, strangely enough. And thanks so much to our producer, David T. Cole, who is on Instagram at Glark. See you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beep-a-rooney.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.